Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And our text this morning will be verse 12. Primarily, we'll read a little bit of this chapter, but Jesus speaking, "I am the light of the world." And what a wonderful passage, what a wonderful truth we have in verse 12. We'll begin reading in verse 12, and we'll read down through verse 20. Of John chapter 8. And if you're there, would you stand? If you're able, would you stand with us? And I want us to read verse 12 together and then follow along with me as I read down through verse 20. John chapter 8 and verse 12, the Bible says, ready? "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. No man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for that light, the light that he is in this world. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as your children, Father, to see that light, to come to that light. Father, I pray that we would follow that light. As Jesus has said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Father, I pray that you would bless our time together in your word this morning. And Father, that we would see more and more the truth of Jesus Christ. Father, that we would reject the darkness and the wisdom and the foolishness of this world. Father, if there be one here that does not know Christ as Savior, Father, I pray that your Spirit would call them into the light of Christ today. Father, we ask that your Spirit would meet with us. Father, I confess that without your Spirit I can do nothing. So I pray that you'd fill me and use the preaching of your word to encourage our hearts in these next few moments. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I love this passage, this declaration of Christ. I am, would you say it with me again? I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And this morning we're going to look at that phrase. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And tonight for our message, we'll look at what that means to us, that we won't walk in darkness. And we'll look at some real practical ways that we've been given the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be a fun service, I trust. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You know, in the very beginning of Scripture, in the first chapter and the last chapter, we find Jesus as the light. Genesis 1 tells us that all was darkness until Jesus Christ spoke into that darkness. Genesis 1:3, let there be what? Light. And the Bible says there was light. And you know, now for us, as we understand it, light always has a source. I've had people ask me before, Pastor, how could that be? How could there be light on day one, divided from the darkness, and there was no sun until day four of creation? And understand that Jesus is that light. God is
that source of light. We see that in the beginning, the first chapter of the Word of God. We see that in the last chapter of the Word of God. You know, the Bible finishes with a new heaven and a new earth. And look what the Bible says there from Revelation chapter 22, verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. You know, we will live forever in the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we find Jesus during His ministry here on earth declaring Himself, I am the light of the world. And I want to look at some real practical things from verse 12 that will help encourage us this morning. First of all, number one, Jesus alone is the light because He is God incarnate. Jesus alone is the light because He is God incarnate. This statement here, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. It is the second of seven I am statements that we find Jesus making here in the Gospel of John. These I am statements are of great significance. The Jews held in special regard the name that God had referred to Himself of Moses at the burning bush. When Moses asked Him His name, He said, I am that I am. And the wording here in our Bibles, Bible students tell us Jesus is claiming for Himself the exclusive right to be the light of the world. Jesus is saying, I and I alone am the light of the world. God is light. We see that in John's Gospel. Look at the verse all the way down at the bottom of the bulletin, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. John, in his epistle, writes, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you. Read the rest of verse 5 with me, would you please? That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. See, God is light. God is light. And it is God who spoke light into existence for us that very first day of creation. And this light, the light of God, is seen in the glory of Jesus Christ. I love the way the book of Hebrews starts. And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, it starts with. And it goes on to say, who hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholdeth all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You know, how important it is we understand that. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. So many passages to mention. Couldn't fit all of them on a half sheet here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to remind us of this, that Jesus is light. You know, I think of a time during Israel's history, and we're going to talk about Israel in the wilderness, but Moses was discouraged because of Israel's continued rebellion. Moses had gone into the mountain to speak with God and to receive the commandments. And while he was in the mountain, the children of Israel had made that golden calf, and they were worshiping that calf and committing idolatry. In chapter 33 of the book of Exodus, Moses was discouraged. And Moses came to God and said, he told God, he said, I want to see Your glory. Exodus 33, verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And in verse 20, the Lord reminds him, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me, what? And live. You see, now, in that passage, The Lord goes on to tell Moses that He'll show him just a bit of His glory, that he'll get to see his back parts, and Moses is hid in the cleft of the rock so that he's not completely in his flesh, overwhelmed with the glory of God. You know, look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. You found your place there. I want to begin reading in verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach to, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. You know, understand something, that is why you and I need a new body. Because this old flesh, we cannot see the glory of God. This old flesh cannot handle the glory of God. We would be overwhelmed. And like God told Moses, no man can see my face. No man can behold my glory and live. And Jesus comes declaring himself, I am the light. I am the light. Jesus alone is that light, because He alone is God incarnate. And I want to remind us, Jesus didn't come to help us see light. Jesus is that light. Jesus saith unto them, I am the light of the world. Well, that brings us to our second point. Number two, as the light, Jesus is the fulfillment of messianic prophecies and types. Jesus is the fulfillment of messianic prophecies and types. Again, great significance to what Jesus is saying here as Israel is looking for their Messiah. And I want to remind us of the setting. Jesus is still in Jerusalem. The beginning of chapter 8, Jesus had come to Jerusalem to observe the Feast of the Tabernacles. And this feast commemorated the time that the children of Israel had spent wandering in the wilderness, and there was different remembrances as a part of this feast, and in many ways this feast mirrored a time of thanksgiving of sorts. It was observed during harvest season, and there was rejoicing in the faithfulness of God and the blessings of God, but they were specifically remembering how God had taken care of His people during those 40 years that they had wandered in the wilderness. And of course we've seen that. We've seen the way that God provided for them. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And Jesus has said, I am the living water, and how God had cared for His people with manna and water from the rock. But there was another aspect of God's provision for the children of Israel I want to remind us of. The Bible tells us that when Israel left Egypt, the very night the very last plague, the Passover, was observed, the children of Israel were thrust out of Egypt. The Bible tells us that God guided them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. This was with them for the entirety of the 40 years that the children of Israel were in the wilderness. And this also was a part of the Feast of the Tabernacles. This was done the first evening. Of course, if you understand the Jewish calendar, the evening began approximately at 6 o'clock, and this was commemorated ceremoniously, as there in the courtyard of the temple there were large candelabras with many different wicks in them that were ceremoniously lit, and they were of course relit each evening of the feast, ancient Jewish scholars tell us that these candelabras gave off so much light, their light could be seen throughout the city of Jerusalem. Now think about this for just a minute. For 40 years, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, it was never dark. It was never dark. Because they had the sun during the day, and they were, of course, protected from the overwhelming power of the sun by that pillar of cloud that hovered over them. But at night, that cloud would become engulfed in flame, and it would give them light, and it would warm them. Think about it. They left Egypt. They didn't have time to pack flashlights. Well, if they had, their batteries would have gone dead long previous. But the candles and all the necessary things for to give light in the evening time. God provided them light. And for 40 years, it was never dark for the children of Israel. The children of Israel, when they came back from the captivity in the book of Nehemiah, they read the law, and they had found out during Nehemiah's time that there were feasts and observances and that they needed to fulfill, and it was the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles, and they commemorated this remembrance of the children of Israel and God's provision for His people during that time of wandering. And Nehemiah 9:12 reminds us of this light. Moreover, thou leadest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. You see, and as Jesus has at the temple grounds, He has spoke to them. The Bible says, "I am the light of the world." Let's all say that together. I am the light of the world. Jesus is declaring Himself to be a fulfillment of that type of Christ. Just as God had miraculously given them water, and Jesus promises to quench the thirst and to give living water to those who would believe in Him. Just as God had provided manna for His people, and Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," Jesus here is declaring Himself to be the light of the world. You know, this cloud by day, that pillar of fire by night, it was known to be the presence of God. Even the children of enemies of the children of Israel understood that this was no ordinary cloud. This was the very presence of the God of Israel. In Numbers chapter 14, when God was angry with the children of Israel and wanting to destroy them and to make of Moses a new line of people through whom the blessings would come and the seed would come. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 13. Look at this passage. Verse 15. We'll just read verse 15. "For they," that's the enemies, "have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night." Even the enemies of the people of God knew this represented the presence of God. You know, 22 of the Psalms speak of this light of God. And as I mentioned, on the Feast of the Tabernacles, the first evening, these candelabras would be lit with great ceremony and great jubilation, great joy. And many of these psalms would be sung as a part of the lighting ceremony. Psalm 36, verse 9, "For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light." And we see light because of the light of God. And kind of fits with what we were talking about in Sunday school, the wisdom of God and how important it is. We can't even begin to know truth and wisdom without His wisdom, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. And Psalm 89, verse 15. Look at this verse, beautiful verse. Would you read it with me? Psalm 89, verse 15. "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance." You see, there were messianic portions of scripture that were quoted. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Is that phrase familiar to you? It's probably familiar to you from the Christmas carol, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." From Malachi chapter 4 verse 2, the Son, S-U-N. We know of Him as the S-O-N, but He is the S-U-N, this prophecy that He is the light of the world, the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings, the rays of light giving healing and comfort. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 6, another favorite prophecy. The Bible speaks of the future kingdom when the Messiah sits on the throne in Jerusalem. And just like we read there from Revelation chapter 22, it speaks there in Zechariah of the waters that come from the throne of Christ. And this light, that there's no night. We won't take time to turn it. You can look at it later. But Zechariah chapter 14, verse 6, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall be not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day, which shall be known of the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that the living water shall go out from Jerusalem. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and His name one. You see, when Jesus, to the people there in the temple grounds, as He's been teaching them, Jesus declares Himself to be Messiah. He is the light of the world. Now, I want us to notice thirdly, Jesus shines light into a world darkened by sin and death. See, this light that Jesus is speaking of is not just a title. Now, we need to understand the significance of His title, and that's what we've been preaching about so far this morning. You know, it is clear the claim that Jesus is making when He says, I am, there's significance in that, and I am the light of the world. He's claiming to be the incarnate God. He's claiming to be the Lord. He is claiming, making that claim that He is the Christ, the Messiah. You know, but I want us to look. Jesus says, I am the light, what? Of the world. I am the light of the world. He goes on to say, He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, I want to again remind us of the setting. In the passage that we got to preach from last week, this light serves a great purpose. Light represents the ability, as Jesus says here, He that followeth me shall have the light of life. It represents the ability to have life, to be clean, to be morally pure, to have the knowledge of God. Now, the immediate context of this passage, we have a crowd here that is dumbfounded. Jesus was teaching in the temple. As John chapter 8 begins, He comes to the temple and He's teaching. And while the people were gathered around hearing Jesus teach, the Pharisees and the scribes, they bring this woman who was caught in the very act that they said of adultery. And they brought her to Jesus to be condemned by Him so they can make accusation against Jesus. And of course, we won't review in detail the passage last week, but Jesus, the Bible says, He stoops, He writes as if He doesn't hear them. And then as they press Him, Jesus stands and speaks. He told them that whoever was without sin, now it's not just without any sin, but without this sin, could be the first one to cast a stone at her. And Jesus stoops again and He's writing in the sand. And these men, these Pharisees, these scribes, they have the light of God shined on their conscience. The Bible tells us that they could not bear it. The Bible says from the oldest to the youngest, they left His presence. They walked away from that light because, just as Jesus had said in John chapter 3, because their deeds were evil. They wouldn't come to the truth. They wouldn't come to the light because then their deeds were being reproved. You see, what happened is that the light of God had shined in on their hearts. You see, and I want to remind us, there are two aspects of this. There is the light of God that shines into the world, and then there's also the light of God that shines into our hearts. See, we could not know what is right, what is true, apart from the light of God. Boy, look at our world today. Wrong is right, and right is wrong, as a culture have intentionally rejected the light of God, we see our culture going further and further into despair and into darkness. You see, Jesus is a light in a dark, dark world. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Jesus has come to be the light of the world, but there's also a personal application to each one of us, that the light of God shines in on our hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll begin reading in verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, Jesus didn't just come to be a light in a dark world. He came to give you light, to shine the light of God in your heart, to give you the knowledge of God. You see this light, it's the light that shows us our sin. We couldn't see the dirt without light. We wouldn't know the filth without that light to clean, or even ourselves. The light shines on an object and shows the filth and the corruption, But I want to remind us that, more importantly, it gives life. Jesus reminds us of that in John chapter 8, shall have the light of life. You cannot have life apart from light. You know, science tells us that there are organisms that can live in complete darkness in our world, in places where there is no light. But even then, science also tells us and reminds us that they receive their life from the light. Other things that would nurture them and give them light, life happen because of the light. You see, it is the light of Christ that gives us light. And the Bible reminds us of that again and again. We're reminded as Christians, we are children of light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us watch and be sober. He goes on. Now, let us not sleep as do others. You know, they that sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. You know, the apostle reminds us that so much of the wickedness of this world happens under the cover of darkness. You know, Jesus said that's why men love their darkness. They love their darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. You see, but understand that as Christians, as children of God, we have the light of God has shined into our hearts, and because of that we live and walk in the light. See, Jesus alone is the light because He is God incarnate. He said, as the light, Jesus is the fulfillment of messianic prophecies and types. Thirdly, Jesus shines light into a world darkened by sin and death. And then fourthly, lastly, Jesus gives light to those who trust Him and obey Him. You know, in John chapter 8, Jesus makes it clear that those who, to whom the light shines in their hearts, they respond to that very light. Again, John chapter 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, would you read it with me or quote it with me? I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light. See, the response of people to the light is very clear. If you want light, you have to come to the light. Turn back over to John chapter 3. Remind ourselves of this tremendous passage. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. John chapter 3, and He's given us verse, John 3, 16 and 17 and 18. Verse 19, notice this, John 3, 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21, would you read it with me? But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You see, the response to this light, when the light of God shines in, the response of those who know God, those who love God, it is very clear. You want light, you come to the light. You want light, Jesus said in John chapter 8, he used the word follow. He that followeth me, Jesus said. See, I want to remind us, that is the response of us as God's people to the light. Again, going back to the what's being typified here during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. These lights, these candelabras have been lit, and they enjoyed the light, this light, all throughout the night, to commemorate the pillar of fire that God gave his people for some 40 years. This light. But I want to remind you that the children of Israel, that as they came out of Egypt, they had to follow that pillar of fire. See, when they left Egypt, they followed the light. It was a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. And listen, that cloud, that pillar of fire, that didn't start when the children of Israel got to Mount Sinai and they received the law of God. That cloud, that pillar of fire, didn't start when they built the tabernacle and the Bible tells us about the presence of God there. No. As soon as the children of Israel, the Passover, the blood was sprinkled on the door, the children of Israel were freed from bondage, the Bible says immediately, in Exodus chapter 13, the Bible tells us that God led them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. You see, God led them in the way that they should go. All the children of Israel had to do was follow the light. That's all they had to do. You see, God had told Moses the route that he was going to take his people. If we take it this way, we're going to take it through some enemy territory, and there's going to be battles and wars, and so we're not going to go that way. God told Moses we're going to go this way. But the children of Israel didn't need to understand the way that they had to go. All they had to do was follow the light. You see, Jesus tells us that here in John chapter 8. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, what you and I must do is come to the light. What you and I must do is follow that light. Listen, if we're going to follow Christ, that means we trust Him. That means we obey Him. We don't just believe what Jesus says about Himself. You know, we believe what He says about us. That we're sinful creatures, that we're separated from God by our sin, and we need a Savior, and our world is in darkness, and we're not going to find the knowledge of God and light in the wickedness of this world. The world itself, listen, our world doesn't get to make its own light. They don't get to determine what is right and wrong. They don't get to say, okay, we're going to make this a ballot initiative, or we're going to amend our constitution, and we're going to determine what is morally right and what is morally wrong. You see, that light only comes from Christ. Jesus says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Psalm 18, verse 28. Psalm 18, verse 28. For thou will light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Verse 30 says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that His way is perfect? You know, His plan for marriage is perfect. His plan for rearing your children is perfect. His plan for how we take care of our bodies is perfect. You know, His plan for how we have church and how we love one another and how we spend our money and, you know, how we live in this wicked world. Do you believe that His way is perfect? You see, if we're going to have the light of God, we absolutely must believe His word. His word, the word of the Lord is tried. Listen, we don't get to live as a follower of Jesus Christ and just say, okay, Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are, and then live in the wickedness and darkness of this world. Ephesians chapter 5, would you turn there with me, please? Could only fit just a small selection in this, in our notes here. Ephesians chapter 5. I want us to begin reading in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Would you say that next phrase with me? Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And by the way, let me just stop right here and remind all of our young people, we live, young people, could I have your attention for just a moment? We live in a wicked, wicked world. And what Satan wants to do is to fill your mind with all sorts of knowledge about evil. Before he can ever tempt you to do evil, you need to know about the evil. And that's why we see what's being taught in schools and what's on television and what's being circulated in the wider culture, the filth and the evil. But before you ever have a chance to know the way of God, Satan wants to pollute and contaminate your mind. You see, and that's why you need to be so careful the private conversations you have with friends, the things they share with you, the things they tell you, the things they want to show you on the back seat of the bus, on their phone, as you're on your way home from school. You see, because Satan wants to pollute your mind. You know, there's a resurgence. Oh yeah, they still want to say, yes, this is right and this is wrong. But the wickedness of our culture is so fascinated with evil. They like making movies about evil and, oh yeah, sure, in the end, you know, the wrong is punished and the good guys prevail. But for the first 119 minutes of a 2-hour movie, it's spent celebrating the evil. What does our Bible say here? Again, in verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. See, we've got to be very careful. Like the psalmist said in Psalm 101, I will set no wicked thing, what? Before mine eyes. I'm not going to fill my mind with the darkness and the wickedness of this world. You see, Jesus wants to give you light, but you've got to see the light of God very different than the wickedness of this world. And you've got to come to His light. And if you're going to do that, the Bible says you don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You're too busy pleasing your Savior to watch that YouTube video. You're too busy reading your Bible to watch that movie and or to take it to your bedroom and watch that movie so you can talk to you can fit in with your friends at school and talk about that. No. The Bible says it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Don't fill your mind with the filth of this world. Verse 13. We're in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You see, you want to know why our world hates the Word of God? Why our world hates displays of the Ten Commandments or reminders about the light of God? Because it makes manifest. Whatsoever makes manifest is light. And just like, you know, I mentioned this last week. You know, Jesus says in the previous verses in John chapter 8, as Jesus stooped and he's with a stick, he's writing in the sand. You know, so many so many preachers I've listened to or people I've read about that passage. What did he write? Listen, I don't know what he wrote. If the Spirit of God wanted us to know, he would have told us. But I'll tell you what he did give. He gave light. He gave light because their consciences were smitten. The Bible says they heard it. They turned and they walked away from Christ. They went back to their darkness. Why? We read it in John chapter 3. Because their deeds, they loved the darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. See, in this passage, we're reminded God has called us out of the darkness. If you're a child of God, you have been translated, the Bible says, out of this dark world, out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light. And we're reminded to walk as children of light. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. So we follow Christ as He gives us light. We mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. As we come to Christ, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's more light to be had. There's more wisdom that we need to know. We need to study the Scriptures and we need to draw wisdom from the Word of God. Why? Because we need more light. But look what Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18 says. But the path, would you read it with me? But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Wasn't that an apt description of our culture? You know, all the unintended consequences of their foolishness and of their wickedness. The despair, the crime, understand the Bible says that the way of the wicked is as darkness. You see, for those who are a child of God, those who are coming to the light, the way just gets brighter and brighter and brighter all the way to glory. But those who live in sin, those who live for self, those who follow the wisdom of this world, the Bible says their way is darkness. And they continue to stumble. They can never figure out why. They never know what's going on and why this is happening. And see, the Bible reminds us that Jesus gives light to those who trust Him and obey Him. See, I want to remind us as we finish the message this morning. Again, I want us to say the verse from John chapter 8, verse 12. Let's say it together. Ready? I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, early in the message, we read from this passage here in 1 John chapter 1. But I want to remind us of a very important truth. You know, this fact that we know Christ, we follow Christ, and we receive this light from Him. I want to remind us that does not mean that we will never sin. The Bible says we're not going to walk in darkness. But there will be times that we will stumble. Look at 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to read this. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you. Say it with me, would you please? That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, you know it, say it with me. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, understand that this matter of walking in the light does not mean that we will never sin. And if we do stumble, we do act in the flesh, and we're not walking in the Spirit, that we don't belong. No. Listen, it doesn't mean we'll never sin. It just means that we'll repent of that sin. We'll confess that sin. We'll acknowledge that it's wrong. We will humble ourselves. We'll make it right with a brother or sister in Christ or with our spouse or with our children. And we will seek reconciliation because we are walking in the light. See, we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And you and I have been called to walk in His light. I want to ask you this morning, do you see the truth in Jesus' words, I am the light of the world? Do you see Jesus as Jesus alone, exclusively as the source for light in this dark world? Jesus, as He says, I and I alone am the light of the world. Do you come to that light? Or do you live and walk in darkness? You see, the Word of God could not be clearer. The light of Jesus has shined into our hearts. We come to His light. We follow Him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.